keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the Reading FC transfer show here on the Tilehurst End. The day after deadline day to round up all the incomings and outgoings throughout what has been quite a manic window for Reading FC, full of embargoes, restrictions, deals being done, one certain player being made to wait a month to be announced for a transfer. We are finally at the end of it all, or are we, potentially? So still some free agents still to come in, which we'll get into in just a bit. If you are a long-time watcher or listener of the Reading FC Transfer Show, which I'm sure there's about two of you, you will notice that we have a full quartet again. All the way back in June, we started the Reading FC Transfer Show, and all these three lovely gents. You can see, if you are watching live on Twitter, Adam Jones and Ben Thomas from the Tilehurst End, and Berkshire Live's Reading FC writer, Jonathan Lowe, join me for this roundup. The day after deadline day. Thank you very much to you all for joining me. I will get you all very shortly. And of course, thank you very much to everybody tuning in at home, whether you are watching live on Twitter or whether you're listening as a podcast later on, or whether you're catching up, indeed, however you are tuning in, thank you very much. Hopefully, we'll be able to shed some light over the next half an hour or so of what has quite happened over the last couple of months in the world of Reading FC transfers. As you can see along the bottom of the screen, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, there is a little ticker of all the incomings and the outgoings of Reading's transfer window. It actually took me quite a long time to compile that because it's been a hell of a busy window. If you give me about 5 minutes now, I'm going to try and read out exactly what has gone on. So starting off with the incomings then, Joe Lumley on loan from Middlesbrough, Tom Ince, free agent. Dean Buzanis, free agent. Tyrese Fauna on loan from Nottingham Forest. Jeff Hendrick on loan from Newcastle. Shane Long, the saviour, back on a free transfer. Sam Hutchinson on a free transfer. Nesta Guinness-Walker on a free transfer. Mamadou Loom on loan from Porto. Naby Sarr on a free. And Baba Rahman completing the business on a loan deal from Chelsea. And then the outgoings, obviously, we had a lot of players leave at the end of their contracts. That's John Swift, Josh Lauren, Andy Rinomata, Brandon Barker, Oyan Nyland, Michael Morrison, Tyrell Ashcroft, Terrell Thomas, Felipe Araunia, Mark Minolti, Alan Halilovic, and Ethan Bristow. And then three players heading out on loan. Luke Southwood's gone to Cheltenham for the season. Jerry O'Dorset's gone to Kilmarnock up in Scotland. And then George Puskas to Genoa on loan. Ben, the squad looks remarkably different to how it did at the back end of last season. But all in all, has this been a good window for Reading?
I think it's been a necessary one, to be honest. You know, a lot of those names that you read out that left probably weren't a surprise. I guess, from a personal point of view, the only one that I was a bit like, okay, we might be in trouble here, was Rinomota. I felt like when he left to join Cardiff, that we were kind of in the mud a little bit at that point. So that was a kind of slight concern. But, you know, considering... And we've said time and again on these podcasts, you know, the position that we're actually in as a club, it's been a phenomenal window, really. The cynical side of me says, well, if we had money, would we be going after these players that we brought in? Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, the position we're in, we're not able to offer, you know, huge riches. And I think what's been more pleasing to me is that players have kind of signed long-term contracts as well. So we've got a little bit of stability, you know, heading into this pre-season. It was not looking good, you know, when we put up the graphic right at the start of the window in terms of all the players that were due to leave, contracts expiring and everything else. Obviously, we've been able to secure some more players coming back in, people like Hoylett, which obviously I was delighted about myself. You know, Ince coming back as well, and the rest kind of newbies, basically. So it's been a good window on the whole, and I'm kind of very pleased how quickly they've begun to gel together, really.
I mean, Adam, we have to remember the restrictions that, you know, Paul Ince and Mark Byrne have been operating under this window. You know, whoever was here last season, Michael Panovich, had it quite tough last summer. Again, these restrictions in place, as we say, you know, massive squad turnover, particularly with all those players leaving on at the end of their contracts. You know, we made offers to players like John Swift, John Laurent, Andy Rinomoto, but ultimately, in the club's financial position, you know, those players were always going to take higher offers elsewhere, simply for the better of their career. I think, you know, there was a lot of talk at the time, and we covered it on this show about, are these players being disloyal to Reading? But I think, you know, take it for its bare facts, these players are making moves for the better of their career, however much they might have enjoyed playing for Reading. But of the 36 players who made a championship appearance for Reading last season, only 19 of those started pre-season. Six of those 19 were under the age of 20, Adam. So we started pre-season, we started this transfer window really with sort of 13 senior players, the absolute threadbare squad, you know, could just about make up a starting 11. Mark Bowen said on BBC Radio Berkshire, we've got a huge gap to fill in terms of transfers. And obviously they were doing this under these EFL restrictions placed upon the club under the business plan after the 6-point deduction. So no transfer fees, no compensation fees. A total player wage bill cap of 60 million, which, you know, has obviously proved a bit of a difficulty in the last few weeks with the Naby Sarr deal, an average player salary cap and an individual player salary cap. So when you think about these names, Adam, that we're seeing, you know, I mean, at the moment we're seeing all the departures go across the bottom of the screen, but when you see all the names that have come in across the bottom of the screen, to get those players in, you know, a lot of whom have championship experience, someone like Tyrese Fauna is someone who's quite highly rated. To do all of that under the restrictions that Paul Ince and Mark Byrne have been under, you have to say they've done a remarkable job.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think they have done a remarkable job, because I was looking at things at the start of the summer. As Ben said, Rinomoto was the point really where I was like, we could be in a bit of trouble here. But you know, I thought we were going to have to rely on quite a few of the youngsters to come up trumps for us. But you know, we have recruited very well. I think we've kind of addressed kind of most positions, really, and we probably have more depth kind of in several positions than we did last season. You look at the left-back situation now with Baba Rahman, obviously, and Nestor Guinness-Walker, and also Junior Hoylett now that we've got the wing-back. So, you know, I feel perhaps a little bit better about the squad this season than I actually did last season. Now, you know, it's hard to compare kind of the squad this season to the one last season, but you know, there is certainly more depth in some areas as well, kind of up top as well. I know that we're in the market, I think, for a free agent striker. And, you know, we've already got the likes of Lucas Shaw and Shane Long, and obviously Yaku Mate as well. And hopefully Femi Azeez can come back and stay fit for a bit as well, because he could be a good option to have as well. So, yeah, the fact that we have managed to address so many positions, I'm very impressed with. Now, obviously, there is going to be, you know, areas that we could definitely improve on. I think, you know, the striker, I think, is going to be important, I think, you know, to add that kind of a little bit more kind of firepower. Obviously, with John Swift going, I think it's important to have that bit extra kind of in the final third. And also maybe a creative player. Obviously, we've got Jeff Hendrick, who has made, I think, a pretty mixed start to life here. And I think we need someone perhaps to kind of compete for his position as well, and have kind of Mamadi Kamara as well in the mix. So there are a couple of positions that I think we could kind of strengthen. But that's obviously what the free agent market is there for. And, you know, all in all, I think it's been, you know, a very good window. And I'm just hoping now that we have the right mix. I think we do have a better mix than we did have last season. So I'm very satisfied with the work that we've done. And the fact that we've also filled up all five of our loan slots, I think that's really important not to waste any, especially in our position. So, yeah, I'm very pleased. And I don't think it could have gone much better, to be honest.
Well, this is where I come to you, Jonathan, with regards to free agents. I mean, that's probably the big question that everyone wants to know. And it was a thing for me, really, on deadline day, where, to be honest, I certainly wasn't expecting too much, because ultimately Reading could only sign loan players and free agents, and we'd filled our, you know, you can have 7 loan players in total. You can have 5 in a matchday squad. We filled that quota of 5. So, you know, it never looked likely that a loan player was going to come in. It was always going to be free agents, and free agents could be signed after that deadline. You know, we saw Andy Carroll come in, beginning, you know, mid-November last season. So certainly there is scope for Reading still to add to their squad with these free agents. A couple of names that have floated around, I suppose the big one is Massimo Luongo, who's been training with the squad the last few weeks. Report from the Sheffield Star today suggesting that Birmingham will also rival Reading for him. Massimo Longo, that's a former Sheffield Wednesday and former QPR midfielder, Australian international as well. So plenty of experience. I think he's also former Swindon. So if we can ignore that link, then he might be a good addition. Yassin Ben Elmani, a winger, and Amadou Mbengue, two other players we talked about on last week. Show Jonathan, Elmani's a winger, and Mbengue is a centre-back slash CDM. Do you get the sense that we might not be quite done with additions yet?
Yes, very much so. I think probably two more players. I think that's what Paul Ince wants, a striker and a central midfielder. The names you've just mentioned, the likes of Elmani and Beng, and Luongo as well, for that matter, because I remember distinctly seeing him at the training ground. It was kind of towards the start of the summer. So these guys have been on at least on, not necessarily officially on the club's books, but unofficially for quite a few weeks now. So you would have thought that a decision will be made on them sooner rather than later. If they're not going to be signed, and there's no point keeping them around too long, I would have thought. That said, Ince said how difficult it is to bring players in, especially free agents, regarding their fitness, and this time has allowed them to build up their fitness, build up a relationship with the players. So that might be something behind his thinking with regards to that. So I think a couple more additions is very likely. The fact that the deadline passed quite quietly, I think, was pretty much to be expected, because I think Adam mentioned, the five loan spots are filled up now, so there's little point getting in a couple more loans, even though it is possible, because I think they can have seven in a squad overall, but only five in the matchday squad. So it seems pretty pointless getting another two in that respect. So hopefully you would have thought, in the next 2 weeks, kind of maximum, really, that they'll make a decision on some free agents, and hopefully get them in and ensure they have the best possible chance to make an instant impact.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably all in agreement that maybe a central midfield would be a decent addition, and maybe a striker as well. Obviously Shane Long and Lucas Zhao, the only two senior options. Obviously Yaku Mate can play up there as well. He's currently injured. One thing we haven't mentioned on strikers is that Lucas Zhao is still a Reading FC player. Reading didn't actually make any sales. There's obviously a lot of players left on free deals, but no one actually left the club for money. Lucas Zhao was the one big one who was linked. Obviously a lot of interest supposedly from Turkey, originally from Besiktas, and then towards the end of the window and on deadline day from Fenerbahce. Obviously the Turkish window is still open until the 8th of September next week. So I suppose there's a possibility that that could still happen. But Fenerbahce have signed Michy Batshuayi today, which I suppose pretty much all but rules out them signing Lucas Zhao. Touchwood, don't blame me if he signs next week. But let's get on then to some... I sent you all some briefs earlier today to sort of round up the transfer window. Some reflecting on the club in a good light, some reflecting on a not so good light, and a couple of mad moments in between as well. We'll try and keep answers as short as possible, because I'll get round all three of you for all of these. But we'll start off then with the best bit of business. This could be a departure. I mean, that's probably unlikely, because most of the players Reading have sold, probably people didn't want to leave. Maybe George Puskas perhaps, but probably this comes in terms of the best incoming. Ben, we'll start with you. What have you gone for Reading's best bit of business?
I think on paper and in practice, it's got to be Tom Ince, really. I think he, out of the players that were with us in that bizarre end of season that we had, last season with that mix and match squad that was just kind of nothing, really. He was the one that stood out before his injury at Hull. Obviously, it wasn't... I don't think anyone was surprised when he came back because of the connection. It would have been very odd if he'd gone to another Championship side, really. But he's really kicked on in these kind of first set of games. He's been, for me, probably the most outstanding player consistently across the squad. I think, in terms of flexibility, Hoylett coming back has been really positive. And the other one that's really stood out, which, at the time, I personally probably didn't give too much, focus on was Hutchinson. So I'd say those three really have been fantastic to come in. Long term, you know, you might look at Loom, but for me, you know, the standout has definitely been Tomlins.
I'm not allowing you to sneak in Junior Hoylett into that discussion, considering he renewed his contract. There's absolutely no chance you can claim Junior Hoylett as a summer signing. Jonathan, Adam, Ince, again, for me, was probably one of the standouts. As Ben mentioned, Mamadou Loom, you know, obviously great to have Shane Long back at the club as well. You know, he's worked hard, if nothing else. He's been absolutely relentless up front so far. And also Babar Amman, perhaps. You know, we haven't seen him back in a Reading shirt yet, but he was obviously a massive player for us last season and a fan favourite. Adam, what have you gone for your best bit of business?
Well, I was going to do something kind of Steve Coppell-esque and go with Mark Bowen like he did with Brian McDermott, because we have needed someone to kind of come in and sort, shall we say, everything out. And the fact that, you know, Mark Bowen seems to be doing that at the moment. Obviously, we don't know what's going on completely behind the scenes, but you know, the fact that we do have someone now there is promising. But I'd agree with Ben. I think Tom Ince is someone that Reading fans just love. I think Reading fans, a typical player that they like is someone who's just energetic, you know, got a bit of pace, plenty of urgency going forward. And, you know, he fits the bill really. And he's been very effective as well, kind of coming in and, you know, kind of filling the void that John Swift has obviously created with his departure. Obviously, in terms of goals and assists, I don't think he'll kind of record kind of more than Swift. But in terms of his energy, there's no shortage there really of urgency going forward. And I do think that he's probably the best bit of business. In terms of Mamadou Loom, I think he's going to be a very good asset to us as well. I think he looks a class above in some of the games so far. And I also think, perhaps this is a bit left field, but I think Bouzanis might end up becoming number one goalkeeper at some point during the season. I don't know. I just have a feeling about Bouzanis. I have a feeling that he's going to be reliable. So I have high hopes for him as well.
That's our shout of the show so far, Dean Bouzanis to be Reading number one by the end of the season. If either of you two, Ben and Jonathan, fancy trying to top that before the end of the show, then be my guest. Jonathan, any differences from what the two chaps have said so far?
Well, I mean, I can't disagree with anything that they've said, but I think from personal perspective, I think it's the Shane Long signing, I think, was created so much excitement. He obviously had the video of him at the Oracle, and the fact that he's worked hard, but he's a great character to have around, and I think he really lifted the pace at the time. He lifts the fans every time they come on as well, and he has shown that he's a very clever player, very skillful player. You know, obviously nothing that we really we don't know about Shane Long, but he certainly sort of matured as a player, and he brings that quality. He had that. Obviously scored that penalty, so he's got that sort of monkey off his back as well. That moment when he scored in front of Southampton was great to see, and he's giving everyone a great lift. I don't think anyone's going to expect him to score 20 odd goals a season, and him first and foremost, but you know what you're going to get with him. You're going to get hard work, pressing, energy, and that's, like we've said with Tom Ince, that's all you can ask for from a Reading fan, and he gives them that, hopefully he's going to play the majority of the games this season, probably not every game, but the majority, and make a positive impact overall. And I think there's lots of cases for all of the players, but for me, just the nostalgia element as well, but the fact they've been able to get the deal over the line, I think, was a massive positive early on as well, and gave everyone a huge lift.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pleasing that, to be honest, we could, in theory, you know, for all different reasons, pick any one of the incomings so far. You know, they've all impressed to a certain degree. You know, certainly no one's, you know, embarrassed themselves. And you've had players maybe like Joe Lumley, who had, you know, that horror show at Rotherham, but other than that, has, you know, recovered from that, you know, surprisingly brilliantly. You know, similarly, someone like Nestor Guinness-Walker, who looked a bit shaky on the opening day of the season, then responded with a very, very good show against Cardiff. So, you know, it has to be said, you know, under the circumstances, that the players they managed to bring in, and, you know, we talk about the restrictions and, you know, how well, you know, Ince and Bird both, you know, sort of utilised their contacts in the game. You know, you look at a lot of the players that have come in this summer, and there's been some connection, you know, somewhere or other, you know, whether that's someone like Bazanis or Hendrick, you know, both of whom have been former teammates of Tom Ince, you know, who's the most obvious link, I suppose, in terms of Ince and Burn using their connections, but, you know, also players like Tyrese Fauna, who, you know, used to be at the club as an under 12, under 13, still friends with Tom Holmes, you know, knows Obi Ajari as well. Someone like Sam Hutchinson, who was born just down the road in Slough, and I think still lives in Windsor, you know, so it was a move that made sense for him. You know, I thought it was interesting with Baba Rahman's interview the other day, that he was saying he's been in contact with Paul Ince throughout the, you know, pretty much the whole summer. And Reading have, you know, been trying to get that deal over the line for a couple of weeks now. So, you know, I have to say hats off, and, you know, it's a good shout there, Adam, as well, to say Mark Byrne has been, you know, one of the best bits of business, you know, coming in right at the start of the summer, you know, has really taken the lead on transfers, you know, taking the heat off Paul Ince considerably. You know, I did not envy at all Veljko Panovic's job last summer, where he was pretty much doing the job of both manager and director of football. You know, still did a very decent job in the circumstances with the help of a certain Mr. Jarabkian. But even so, you know, bringing in someone like Mark Byrne to take off the heat from Paul Ince, you know, to be able to focus on the football, and, you know, that may well have had an impact on, you know, Reading's, you know, excellent start to the season on the pitch as well. We'll move on to a bit. I mean, I've titled this worst bit of business, which seems a bit contradictory in the fact that we have just been praising the club, you know, for the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But I suppose worst bit of business slash sort of something maybe that you'd like to have seen the club do more of, or, you know, something you're not, you know, not entirely sure of. Jonathan, we'll start with you for this one.
For me, I think it has to be not getting Joe Lumley on a free transfer. I think
that's exactly the one I had written down as well.
Is it? Okay. Well, I said it first, so there you go.
Yeah, no, you can crack on and explain, because it's
a key point. I mean, it's slightly, it still bothers me somewhat, because he doesn't have a future at Middlesbrough. He's out of contract there next summer. So quite why they didn't come to an agreement where he could just tear up his contract there and join Reading on a free transfer. Clearly hindsight is a wonderful thing, but you would have thought, I mean, possibly because he was one of the first ones to come in, wasn't he? So perhaps there was that element of desperation of really just wanting to get in a goalkeeper, and you know, that was the best deal they could do at the time. I mean, it's taken up a loan spot, which could have been taken up by another, you know, like we say now, a striker or midfielder. So I think that's possibly something that they're going to regret. I don't know whether it can potentially change. I don't know whether perhaps some talks can go on and maybe it can suddenly turn into a free transfer. I don't know, a permanent deal. They can tear up his Middlesbrough contract, I'm not sure. But I think it has to be that one. I think it's like kind of the standout, basically because the fact he hasn't got a future at Middlesbrough, he's going to be leaving there next summer, so might as well have signed for Reading straight away.
Yeah, I mean, I say that's the one I had. I mean, from my point of view, it certainly felt as if it left the club a little bit limited on deadline day, for example, where if they did have that other loan spot, you know, maybe they might have been able to do a bit of business, you know, whether that's bringing in the midfielder in, someone like a Murray Hutchinson, or, you know, for example, as you say, Jonathan, Joe Lumley's got no future really at Middlesbrough, and, you know, or even if it wasn't Joe Lumley, you know, I think out of all positions, goalkeepers are probably the easiest to sign on free agents terms, particularly, you know, as Joe Lumley came in right at the start of the window. Ben, this was quite a tricky category, I have to say, for me to try and pick from, because it has been, you know, a very decent window. But what are you going for your, you know, worst slightly dodgy bit of business?
I had the goalkeepers as well, but just as a package, really. On that note with Lumley, like, you know, as Jonathan said, hindsight is fantastic. But I think because he was one of the first to come in, they were probably looking at the wages. Obviously, with a loan, you know, they kind of split the wages, don't they? Whereas if he was a free transfer, we'd be taking that all on. So there might have been a consideration to the amount of money they were paying him potentially and trying to free that up. I don't know. But as a package, the goalkeepers were not inspiring signings at all, really. I hope they kind of work out. But, you know, we haven't had a kind of a marquee goalkeeper signing for a long time. So I was kind of hoping that we were going to maybe push. And this isn't, you know, slight on Dean or Joe, but we're going to try and push the boat out to get someone big in that department, really. You know, someone who's been consistently at the top level for a little while. And the other one really, and this, I'm definitely not trying to beat Adam with this one, but this kind of happened towards the end of last season where they kind of froze out Halilovic. I just felt there was a really good player there. Obviously, Paul Ince didn't see that, and he was never going to have a future at the club once Paul Ince came in over time. But I really feel that he would be a nice player to have in this team at the moment. You know, given that Ajari is out injured, and there's going to be games where we're going to struggle for creativity. I just felt that maybe trying to give him a bit more at the club potentially would have been good. But other than that, it's difficult, as we've said, to criticise. So, you know, it was quite a mean category that you've given us there, Ollie, to be fair.
We can't be totally complimentary of the club, otherwise we'll be accused of being some sort of PR arm. We have to remain our distance for a bit. Adam, are you making that a hat trick for the goalkeepers, or you got something else on?
Partly. I mean, the first half of it is, I think Joe Lumley, just the amount of errors that he made last season made me doubt whether this was a good signing or not. I think on the balance of things, he's been a semi-decent signing at the moment. Obviously, he had his horror show at Rotherham at the moment, obviously, a number of weeks ago. And that was one thing for me, which was, kind of makes me a little bit nervous perhaps for the future. But, I mean, apart from that, I think my focus really is on the forward department, because we're trying to bring in, obviously, another striker at the moment. Obviously, that's not guaranteed at the moment, but you'd think that that's kind of the first priority for Paul Ince at the moment. And I think for me, looking at the current situation and the department that we've got, I think having Ihab Hatchimahan, Jamari Clark and Melvin Lambert on the books, perhaps with another striker coming in as well, maybe is a little bit of a mistake. I think perhaps one of the younger forwards should have been loaned out, maybe someone like Clark or Ihab Hatchimahan, who's actually made the step up to the first team actually quite well. I think one of them is actually required perhaps in the first team at the moment, but you just feel... I was looking the other day at the under-23s match and the team sheet, and there was one, I think there was two on the bench actually for one of the games. And I'm just thinking, maybe one of them would have benefited from a loan perhaps in the EFL, and obviously that deadline has passed now, so that was a shame. But the one incoming thing that I wanted was Uchik Piezu from Middlesbrough. And I just had a feeling that we'd be able to get him kind of on a free transfer, knowing that we've taken Joe Lumley as well. And obviously the channel of communication is already there. And I think it was Sky Sports actually that reported that he's gone to, I think it was Konyaspor in the Turkish league. He's gone there free transfer with 20% sell-on fee. And I thought that would have been a decent bit of business actually for us, even though we would have had to, if we'd sold him on, we would have had to give a bit to Middlesbrough. I thought that was a signing perhaps well worth making. Obviously, he didn't do too badly in his first season at Wycombe Wanderers in the Championship. And then, obviously, was unlucky to be frozen out by Chris Wilder. It was obviously a Neil Warnock signing last summer. So I think bringing in kind of Piezu as well, ex-Reading, and I think he would have been kind of persuaded to come here and make his mark in the Championship again. And I think he would have had no shortage of motivation to do that after being frozen out at the Riverside. So I would have liked to have seen Piezu come in, but it didn't happen in the end.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think there's a lot of players probably right at the start of the window that, we saw Cardiff sign a lot of players quite early on. I think, it was always going to be Reading taking a bit more time to sign players. I think it was about five times Paul had said that Reading were fishing from the bottom of the pond, which I do get the analogy. But it was always going to take a bit of time. Reading were always going to do a bit more business towards the end of the window. And as we say, absolutely not a slight on the club at all, talking about any failures, but we can't be 100% positive, otherwise we wouldn't be true fans of Reading Football Club. We'll move on then to some mad moments of the transfer industry. It's been an absolutely bonkers window throughout, the whole of England, not just at Reading, Nottingham Forest signing 21 players. The Premier League total spend limit has been smashed. I think Anthony to Man United cost more than all of the transfer fees paid in the Championship this summer, which tells you the way that modern football is heading. But in terms of mad moments of the window, for me, there's been quite a few. So I might save mine till last, but we'll kick off with you, Ben. What have you gone for as your mad moment from the transfer window?
There's three really. So obviously the Shane Long element was bonkers when it first broke, and the time it took, and the kind of clamouring to to have him in the Oracle was the announcement, and then they actually did that, which was like, you know, had that been a concert, the roof would have come off the place, I think, really, or gig or whatever. But that was pretty mad. The other thing, obviously, is not our fault, but the Nabi Sarr saga, and it was a saga because obviously when that photo broke in what, late July, and I think you said it was 32 days, Ollie, until he was actually officially allowed to play for the club. So that was pretty mad. You know, you often hear about these sagas going on and on all summer and at higher up clubs, but for us to have him physically with us but not being able to play is not something I'd want to repeat, really. And I suppose the last one came this week. I mean, being linked with Daniel Sturridge was a bit of a surreal moment. I know that might have been sort of more tongue-in-cheek, but the idea that Daniel Sturridge would come to Reading, not because of, you know, he obviously was a good player back in his day, but it just seems that continuing tradition of us going for Carroll and, you know, Drinkwater last year and, you know, Long coming back as well, it just seemed bonkers to me. So it those three would definitely be top of my list, but it's been kind of organised chaos, I think. You know, the club have done really well to kind of go after targets and get them in and be consistent with kind of their approach to getting players in. And there's no one that we've brought in that I think, okay, that's not necessary and not needed in that position. Might not be the player that on paper we'd want, but, you know, they've been pretty good. There's just been some really bizarre moments at times this summer. So those three would be kind of on my list, really.
Yeah, I suspect we'll continue to be linked with Daniel Sturridge and other random free agents until those signings are made by Paul Ince in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I pretty much had very similar things. Yeah, as you say, that Nabi Sarr photo, obviously his agent, I mean, it might be his agent or one of his friends just posted that photo. I think it was hastily deleted, but, you know, obviously all the photos were taken on that day. You know, you look at the, it's quite a geeky thing to do. If you look at the metadata on the, when the signing photos were taken for Nabi Sarr, they were taken on July 25th, I think it was, and he wasn't signed until over a month after that. You know, but for him then to score 14 minutes on his Reading debut, it was almost pretty much worth the wait and written in the stars. Adam, any other mad moments for you stand out?
I think George Puskas has to get a mention, really, being linked with the whole of Italy. I honestly thought he was going to join the Italian government at one point because he was just being linked with here, there and everywhere. I think his agent was probably having a bit of a tour, maybe a little bit kind of around Venice and Sorrento and just here, there and everywhere where he could get his client a club. That was one kind of mad moment for me. And I think the other one came right at the start of pre-season where we had all of those names on trial and us trying to kind of identify, you know, other trialists as well. And there's, you know, I think it was RFC latest that managed to spot like a trialist from like 100 meters away in a pick, in a picture. And like, yeah, my head was spinning really because we had about 10 or 11 trialists on point, kind of on trial at that point, and training with us. So that was a bit of a mad moment as well, having that many players there. I was kind of a bit surprised really that we had that many, even with our situation. But this one was a very hard category, actually, even harder than the last one. So I think the Puskas one stands out for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good fun at the start of pre-season when you can try and spot. Jean, was it the former Brentford guy, Jean Bodie, Jean-Bier, who I just about heard the name, but I had absolutely no idea what it looked like, and someone managed to spot that it was him on trial. Jonathan, I don't know whether any of yours are different from a journalistic point of view. You know, we know the amount of names that get floated around, and God knows, I imagine you've been handed a lot of names this summer that you've definitely had to verify. But what have been your mad moments from the window?
We see, I took this slightly differently, actually. I thought a mad moment is in the sort of negative context and sort of a crazy decision. So my answer to that would be why they gave Nabi Sarr a four-year deal when he's 29 years old. I'm quite sure what the thinking was behind that. So yeah, that would be my mad moment. But I mean, the ones mentioned, really, I was going to mention the trialists and, you know, when I went to see them play and Benfica at St George's Park, you know, the second half was just full of trialists, and you know, you just knew that the vast majority of them weren't going to be signing on the dotted line. And you know, someone like Conor Wickham, they've been linked with before, I think, when Mark Bowman was manager. So It was pretty mad that he was just kind of drawing up the list of targets from 2019 or whenever he was manager. And obviously just the madness regarding Shane Long signing as well, and that day when he was in the Oracle. So, yeah, it's been a few mad moments, and yeah, who knows, maybe a few more before these free agents come in.
Can you give us any peek behind the curtain? Has there been a name that's been sent your way and you thought there's absolutely no way that player is signed for Reading? Or are these trade secrets we can't reveal?
Come back to me on that one, I'll have a think.
Yeah, I mean, all of the ones I had pretty much have been mentioned. The other one I had came a couple of days ago with Bubba Rum, you know, just randomly just tweeting awake at midnight. I think it was 12:30 on Wednesday morning, which was just the perfect way, really. Obviously, the club then didn't announce the signings about 12 hours later, but it was the absolute perfect way for Bubba Rum to announce that he was coming back to Reading Football Club, tweeting just simply the words awake. You know, which means so much to Reading fans, and the complete hysteria that followed. And it's very clear that the Bubba Rum absolutely gets the Reading FC fan base. I think that's one thing for sure. Let's round off then. I've asked you all to try and sum up Reading's transfer window in just one word, if possible, and also go for like an old school. I know they do. I mean, makes me feel very old, and I'm not very old, but the fact that, I mean, Ben, you'll know this better than me, but the 1 to 9 grades now, is it for GCSE, which it just completely fries my brain. So we'll go old school, we'll go A to F. But Jonathan, we'll start with you for your one word, sum up the transfer window, and an A to F grade, if you will, please.
So my one word be encouraging. I think for all the reasons that we've outlined so far in this podcast, clearly, you know, we'll have a better idea of how everything has panned out in you know, 3 or 4 months' time. But certainly on the face of it, the signings have been good, not just for their quality, but I think most importantly that they seem to be the right characters, fitting in well, getting on well, fitting into their new environment, which is arguably as important as the quality they have on the ball. just the fact that they managed to get a few of the players off the books, and obviously it was a shame to lose the big three, I guess, really, Swift, Laurent and Rinomota. I particularly was sad to see Rinomota go, but you know, we all have to move on, and you know, they've got players in now replacing them, and you know, you don't really think about Renovator anymore. So that's just football. So I think it's been very encouraging, very promising, and in terms of a grade, I don't know if we're allowed plus or minuses as well, but
I can go for it.
Yeah, let's go for a B plus. I think it's given the circumstances, would probably be bumped up to an A if they had a couple more players in, especially up top. But I'll stick with the B+.
We'll head to the teacher himself, Mr. Thomas. Any advances on a B+?
I have B, actually. I mean, it can't be an A because I'm not sold on the goalkeepers. And I think with all due respect to Guinness Walker, if we had any sort of money, we wouldn't even be... talking about him, really. So there's a couple of players there that they're a little bit kind of head scratching, but as Jonathan said, the character is probably right for what we need at this time. In terms of the word, it would be necessary for me because we did need a big change. You know, it would have been good to keep those kind of three that we mentioned, but again, you know, my kind of reservation with bringing Rama back in is that you've got what, 80% of a defence to let in 70 goals or something last season. I know it's a different shape now, but at the same time, you need a bit of a mix up and a bit of a refresh. But I still don't think it's probably the full reset that we need in terms of players. I guess that will come, you know, next year when we could potentially move some players on for some money, or other players run down their contracts or whatever, and we can get some sort of high profile players in, if we stay in the Championship, of course. But you know, it's been a solid window. So I'm going to stick with B and necessary.
Yeah, on Rahman, actually, briefly, I am intrigued to see how he gets on in you know, playing a wing back role. Obviously, we saw him in a back four for the majority of last season, and you know, it probably is fair to say he's much more of an attacking fullback than he's a defensive fullback. So, you know, certainly the on paper at least the wing back role would seem to suit Babrahman slightly better than maybe just the natural left back role. Adam, rounding off with you then, one word to describe the window and a old school grade, please.
I think the word that I'm going to go with is productive. I think we've managed to move out some players that needed to go. I can't really disagree with any of Paul Lintz's calls really in terms of who he released. I think even Nyland, you know, obviously made two kind of big mistakes in a quite a short kind of amount of time really. So yeah, I think Paul Lintz made the right call on many of the many of our kind of last season's players. I think he's brought in some fantastic additions as well. I think we've got kind of a good mix of players as well, kind of a nice mix of youth and experience, especially kind of in that back line, having Naby Sarr, Sam Hutchinson, and then some younger players like Tom Holmes and Tom McIntyre. I think it's kind of the perfect mix, really. Obviously, you know, there are some areas that we need to address. I think a striker is definitely something that someone that we should have on the agenda. I think an attacking midfielder would be nice as well. And obviously, I don't think we'll have the space at the moment, but if we can bring in an attacking midfielder, a central midfielder and a striker, and I think it'll be an A star. But for me, at the moment, I'm going to go with Jonathan and go with a B plus at this stage. But it's definitely been a promising window. We just need some finishing touches now, just kind of one or two more players. And I have a feeling we'll get one or two over the line. So, yeah, it's been very productive. And yeah, it's going to be a B plus from me.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with anything any of you said there. Really, I'd also go for a B, which is a you know, fair grade, as you say. Maybe bump it up to an A depending on what happens. If we can get Andy Carroll back in the building, then it's an A star from my point of view. But yeah, I think for me, I think I've gone for a similar word to you, Adam. Really, I've gone for efficient, which you know I think you know, I've been really really pleased with sort of the way they've gone about the business this summer. You know, not necessarily efficient in terms of sort of being quick at the blocks and stuff like that, but you know, when they've identified targets, they've worked hard. And you know, look, I really think it can be sort of stated enough the restrictions that the club have been working under this summer. You know, it's almost impossible circumstances. You know, the pool of players they've been able to target is, you know, been severely reduced by the fact that they can't play. That they can't pay transfer fees or compensation fees. And, you know, even then, you know, when you get to a pool of players that are available, there's going to be a lot of players who wouldn't have fancied joining Reading this summer. You know, Reading is, I mean, it's slightly more attractive now, but certainly at the start of summer, we discussed it on this show, you know, it was not an attractive club to come and play for. You know, but in terms of the characters they've been able to bring through the building, as I say, utilising those connections really, really well. And, you know, you look at other clubs who have maybe been under embargoes or have had restrictions in recent years, and you know, I can't really remember them having as good a windows as Reading have had this summer. You know, so I think you have to give credit to certainly Mark Bowen, as I say, come in and done a very, very good job. Seems very well suited to that role of head of football operations, which seems to, you know, cover, you know, pretty much everything, but certainly the transfer window. Look, he's had a very long career, you know, playing the game, but also coaching. He's got a wide network, you know, which he's certainly utilised, and the same can be said for Paul Lintz. You know, you can question him tactically if you want, but I think certainly as a, you know, I think if you sum Paul Lintz up, he's a proper football man, I suppose, really. And you know, he's been in the game for a long, long time. He knows how it works. You know, yes, he's been out of management for 8 years, but you know, he knows how the transfer window works. He knows players. He can identify contacts and stuff like that. So the two of them, yeah, have done a very, very good job. And we have to be overwhelmingly positive, I think, on that count. But that just about does round up. We've nicely left all the negative stuff in the middle of the show and left it on a rather nice positive. So, yeah, thank you very much to everybody who has tuned in, not just tonight. I can't think what else you would rather be doing on a Friday night than discussing Reading FC transfers and how crazy it's been. But thank you to everybody who's tuned in over the last couple of months as well, whether you've watched all these lives on YouTube or whether you've listened along as well. It's been great to discuss all of these transfers. Jonathan, in particular to you, the one loyal man who stayed for all of these transfer shows. Thank you very much for bringing your wisdom and your insight. And to Ben and Adam as well for your opinion and also always your company as well on these transfer shows. Thank you very much to everybody for watching. Go and enjoy your Friday nights then, and hopefully then we can round off the weekend with 3 points against Stoke on Sunday. Come on, you Ars.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Ars!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.